let's just share a little piece of some of the brain share that we had in regards to thinking about irrigation systems and water infrastructure like the human body. What do you think? Should we share a little bit of that?
I think so. I think it's vital to share because we learn. And when we learn, you want to be able to share with others some of the knowledge you gain.
And when you have something like a pressure transducer that you can see remotely from anywhere in the world, you now have a visual into the performance of the pipe, the water in the pipe that you didn't have before. All of a sudden, there's a tool, and you can use the tool to assess the health of the system, much like you can check your blood pressure when you go in to the doctor. The first thing they're going to do is start with the blood pressure, because that might actually explain some of the other symptoms that somebody may be having.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So what we've really come up with our brain share is, you know, what are the key elements or the vital signs of an irrigation system that we need to diagnose initially when you first get to a property?
If you are an irrigation professional, old or new, who designs, installs, or maintains high-end residential, commercial, or municipal properties, and you want to use technology to improve your business, to get a leg up on your competition, even if you're an old-school irrigator from the days of hydraulic systems, this show is for you.
Oh, man, Paul, what a couple few days, huh?
But we learned a lot. Just looking at my notes. Late night notes, brain share notes, and man, we're developing a couple themes, I think, around this pressure concept, spending more time realizing the importance of pressure on the irrigation system.
Well, it's not even just the irrigation system that we're seeing the importance of it. It's just on the plumbing system in general, but because we're seeing it through the lens of irrigation, we really see the vitality of the importance.
Yeah, so I'll step back for a second, because here we are in the Delta Sky Club in Detroit trying to relax, and maybe we should give a little background to the audience on what we did this week. We can't really say the names of the project, but maybe we should speak a little bit to the objective of our technology deployment. What do you think?
I agree with that, yes. I think we want to keep the project non-specific, but the generalization of the scope, I think we should talk details.
Yeah, so I probably the best way to describe the overall scope is wireless sensors for data analytics.
And monitoring of specific conditions of the landscape.
Correct. So not control of irrigation. We're leaving that to the traditional branded manufacturers to command and control the irrigation, but we are providing the client with we are revealing to the client insights on the system that they weren't able to see before using wireless sensors and a platform with a dashboard so they can see the vital signs of their water infrastructure.
And some of the things that we identified prior to the start of the project when we got there was that there was very low water pressure up on the rooftop where we're going to be deploying the system. But also there was no water meters. There was no pressure gauges. The client had no idea the performance of the system until we provided them with the insight.
And so you heard Paul say the rooftop for this particular project, 90% of the project is on a very large green rooftop. So that's probably we could frame it around that. This is a large green rooftop project that historically had been overwatered.
And that's the reason why the client brought us in, because there was some struggling of the landscape, struggling of the green roof, and the client really wanted more insight into, number one, the irrigation system and how it's functioning and operational. And then number two, you know, how the weather affected the movement of the moisture of the soil through the green roof profile.
Mm-hmm. And from what we've learned through our clients is that green roofs can sustain dry conditions
So they, number one, need to know when the conditions are dry. And then once the condition is dry, it can maintain that level for a period of time. So the client just really needs to know, hey, my roof has been dry. How long has it been dry? If it has been dry for X period of time, now it is time to water. But not to water the moment it's dry, because it can sustain a period of time at the dry threshold.
Well, one of the things that we learned, too, was the reason the client brought us in, because they assessed this roof, and it wasn't a rooftop garden that they installed, but they were brought in as the expert and professional, and the thing that they determined was the reason why the roof was failing is because the irrigation system was watering it way too often. It's leaching out all of the nutrients, and now when the nutrients are gone, it breeds weeds and insects and saturation. So our client was brought in to bring the rooftop back. And one way that they wanted to make sure of is that the roof didn't get over-irrigated again.
Mm-hmm. So let's share a little bit about the types of data that we're collecting and how we're collecting it.
Well, you know, one of the things too, Andy, is, you know, we came in, we're brought in by this particular client to redo the existing sort of monitoring system that they initially deployed because it wasn't working. And that system was a wired soil moisture, wired weather, wired this, wired that. So there's wires all over this roof that were either exposed or getting rained on, and the devices were failing. So we were asked to come up with a solution that was a little easier to monitor and manage, but that didn't have all these wires running all over the place.
Mm-hmm. So we started with the heart of the wireless system is the gateway. And we installed a gateway on the rooftop, solar powered battery. So there's no wires running to this particular gateway. And the gateway that we set up has the ability to communicate with all of the wireless devices, not only on the rooftop, but throughout the entire building and throughout the entire landscape. So we now have an access point essentially to anything the client would like to measure and monitor at any time in the future.
That's right. It gives us a springboard into the client being able to look at other devices and other systems with insight that we can pipe in that data into through our hub and then bring it into an application where they can visualize any of this information.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we installed numerous wireless soil moisture sensors, but then on the actual water infrastructure, there's two water sources. Neither of them had meters at all or flow sensors. And we installed two water meters with an analog display and a digital output attached to the wireless data logger. And then we put pressure transducers on the backflow, which we're going to talk more about in the future, so that both water sources have pressure monitoring and flow monitoring. And what did we notice when you fired up the system for the first time? Here we are, it's what, April 11th, first week of April, turned on the system for the first time.
Well, one of the things the client wanted us to do was sort of map out the existing irrigation system. And then when we were doing the management, we wanted to put sensors in zones and we can kind of see how the zones flowed. But the first thing we did was we turned on the system. We were looking through the meter, and the meter was spinning maximum flow rate because it was just a small 1-inch service to the section of the roof. It was peaking out at 15 gallons a minute. And we were walking around trying to figure out what was going on. And then because it's on a rooftop, you know, there's drains that have access points, and the water didn't really surface. We were listening to some of the roof drains, and water was flowing directly into the roof drains. So the first thing to me was, we must have a break or a leak somewhere, because the leaks, just instead of it surfacing, it's going down, hitting the membrane and then flowing over to the drain. And that's exactly what we saw and found, was that there was a mainline break in the piping system in the network, And we identified it as a frozen pipe. They didn't winterize the system.
And we can't determine when the break had occurred. It could have been there in last year's entire watering season, or it could have been there for the past 5 years of watering. The facilities manager is not responsible for the water bill, doesn't have any of the water bills. The system did not have a meter on it. And if you're up on the roof walking around, you may never know.
No idea. I mean, but luckily for us, we're trained to hear and listen and see. So we identified the leak right away. We let the facilities director know. They brought in the irrigation contractor. And hopefully they're going to start finding a way to repair.
That's a good reminder that if possible, to install a water meter with a digital output versus just a flow sensor, because the meter has the dials on it on the register. So you can see water flowing through the pipe, even if it's not connected to any logger, any controller, anything digital. You just look at the meter, and if the dials are spinning, you have a leak. And there's something really powerful about that in the field, knowing that you can visually assess the system. You don't have to wonder, is my irrigation controller registering this flow correctly? Because I think that if we installed just a paddle wheel flow sensor and we had hooked it up to a controller, our first thought may have been, there's got to be something wrong with the controller or this flow sensor. It says it's running 15 gallons a minute. If it was just digital, we may have questioned that data point, but because it was a mechanical register, we never questioned it. We knew right away that it was water running through at that rate.
And the beauty of that device is that we've learned over the years, you know, why those things are valuable, because again, you can't see what's in the pipe. This is just showing you or giving you eyes into the water. And it allows the building manager, if they have PMs, preventive maintenance schedules, where the guys or gals go around the building and they have to check certain things every day, a lot of times they can put that on their PM schedule and they can write that down.
Yep.
And they can bring it back every day and look at it going, oh my gosh, how much water did we use yesterday over today and then tomorrow?
Yep. And I made a note here the other night, water is hidden. You know, that's one of the challenges that we face on all water, inside and outside, is that it's in a pipe and you cannot see it. You can see it when it comes out of the sprinkler, or if you have a leak outside that's surfacing, you can see it. Outside of that, water is hidden.
And especially on these rooftop gardens where the soil's porous, it's so hard to see leaks, especially if you got a drip system like the one that they had up there. You turn on a zone, heads don't pop up, everything goes down, and the water, the soil's porous. So the first thing you need to do is you got to go to the drains and you got to look at the drains and see if you get water flowing down them. And that's the first thing we did. We went to the drains. We saw a massive amount of flow, and then we started looking for where potentially there was breaks.
Mm-hmm. Let's just share a little piece of some of the brain share that we had in regards to thinking about irrigation systems and water infrastructure like the human body. What do you think? Should we share a little bit of that?
I think so. I think it's vital to share because we learn. And when we learn, you want to be able to share with others some of the knowledge you gain.
And when you have something like a pressure transducer that you can see remotely from anywhere in the world, you now have a visual into the performance of the pipe, the water in the pipe that you didn't have before. So all of a sudden, there's a tool, and you can use the tool to assess the health of the system, much like you can check your blood pressure when you go in. And the doctor, the first thing they're going to do is start with the blood pressure, because that might actually explain some of the other symptoms that somebody may be having.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. So what we've really come up with our brain share is, you know, what are the key elements or the vital signs of an irrigation system that we need to diagnose initially when you first get to a property?
Yep.
Similar to when you walk into a doctor. What is the doctor doing? They're checking your vital signs.
So I think that a lot of contractors, likely when they get to a job site for the first time, they pick up a new project for the first time, they go to the controller first. Show me the controller. But really, that's not the place you should start.
You need to start at the water supply.
At the water supply.
And not just at the irrigation supply. This is just my belief. I think you need to know the main supply that services the building so you understand where the heart is
right.
of the water system. Does that system have a booster pump on it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just city water? Is it well water? I mean, what is creating the pressure that you need to sort of analyze when you get to the property? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to talk a little bit during this discussion, but, you know, we uncovered a lot of different things by just checking the pressure of the system.
Because you can't see pressure. When you look at a pipe, you simply see the pipe.
You don't know what pressure is, or you turn on sprinkler head and you go about and step on your foot and you go, oh, this is whatever.
You can only tell when it's very low or very high, but it's very hard to tell the in between, right? You know when it's not working on the extremes. You can see mist and you can see the sprinkler barely popping up, but everything in between that, you can't really tell if it's 40 PSI or 62 PSI.
So the first thing that we identified when we started looking at the system was the static pressure was 30 pounds when we got to the facility right away. To me, I'm like, wow, this is pretty low water pressure for operational of a pretty large irrigation rooftop.
Especially when you got only a 1-inch pipe running out to the roof, and if they're decent sized zones, I mean, it's not a lot of pressure.
What do you think the roof size there was? That was about an acre. Would you say?
I would say, yeah.
It's about 50,000 square feet.
Probably.
Pretty big roof.
Yeah, 24 zones of irrigation on the rooftop. That's no joke.
So it's a lot of water coming out of a little tiny pipe.
And it would not be likely for someone to design a system the way that it was when we saw it with that low pressure. Nobody would design a system like we saw with only 30 pounds of pressure coming in. Right. So it wasn't until the moment that we saw, and you caught this, the heart of the system, the main water supply.
Yeah. What we did was we asked the facilities manager to just walk us to where the main water supply comes into the facility so we can at least understand what do they have a meter on it? Where's the service coming in from? And then we saw the pressure on the upstream side from the municipality and the downstream side of the backflow. We saw it was 70 PSI coming in, 60 on the other side of the backflow. But ironically, I asked them, they did have a booster pump on the network, and it was just confusing.
And the guy goes, yeah, it cycles a lot. It comes on and off frequently all day long, right? As if it was supposed to do that. That's what he thought.
And then I looked at it and I looked at the pumps and I heard the pumps whining and I looked at the pressure gauges and I'm like, we got 60 pounds coming in and we got 60 pounds going out of the booster pump and it's sitting there cycling. So the first thing I said is this thing's not working, but you can see it cycling, but it's not increasing the pressure whatsoever. And it was really eye-opening to the facilities guy. It was like, they had no idea that my pumps were not working. They're steady moving and turning and burning energy, but they're not producing pressure. Subsequently is why the rooftop had such low pressure, because it was probably designed at 60 PSI, but the booster pump stopped however long ago, and now we only have 30 pounds, and now the irrigation on the rooftop is not functioning as it should be.
So just having either documenting pressure with a manual just pressure gauge, which is what most people should do right now, because that's the tool that happens to be readily available. However, I don't think a lot of people do that. Pick up a new site. Do they really go to the backflow, put a pressure gauge on it, and see what the system pressure is at the beginning of before they take over maintenance on it? Well, I probably don't do that.
I mean, I don't even know.
They'll document the integrity of the solenoids. Maybe are they open? Is it short? Is it working? Do all the zones come on? But do people really go and start at the source so that they can document the condition? So if something changes later, they know what it was when they picked up the maintenance. Because the system could be working fine. It could be 65 PSI. Write it down. And if the system stops working later, then you can take a reading and say, well, it was 65 when we took it over. Now you're only getting 40. We haven't done anything. We just got to get the pressure back up.
And we've had this discussion, you and I, in the past about, you know, since we've been in the irrigation industry, you know, I'm at 35 years now this year. Yes, 35th year. and you've been doing it for 20, and I've been on systems and managing them for maybe 10 or 15 years, and I've seen the pressure decrease on these systems over the years, where systems that we designed or maintained 10, 15 years ago, the pressure is now 20 to 30 pounds lower than it was when we installed it, because the municipality has reduced the pressure servicing that because of their water infrastructure is struggling. So to keep breaks from occurring, they lower the pressure at the pump station.
And that the pressure, I've got just looking at my notes here, we're thinking that pressure does a good job of making the correlation to flow, helping to answer the question, why is flow higher or why is flow lower? If the flow is higher by 15%, but you could also look at what the pressure is, that would help make a correlation to why a high flow alert occurred when it's not a break at all. It was just an increase in pressure.
Well, especially if you have an advanced control system that you've done learned flows and you know what the flows are on a specific zone, right? So that's where the algorithms in the programming say, yeah, we know we've established 50 gallons a minute on zone one, and that's what we should keep it within. But if the pressure goes up 10 PSI, that normal 50 gallons a minute could be 55 now. And you're like, well, why did it increase? Or the next day or two, pressure could drop 10 PSI lower, and now you're at 45 gallons a minute. And you're getting these alert conditions coming into your system, and you're like, what the heck is going on? Why is my flow at 45 one day and 55 the next, but it's set at 50?
Yeah, it reinforces the conversation that we had a couple episodes ago about pressure. And would you rather have pressure visible remotely or flow visible remotely? And this reinforces the power of pressure at helping to determine the correlation of what is happening on the irrigation system and the importance that just having a simple remote pressure monitor can provide to a maintenance contractor, where the flow of water does matter, but pressure can react faster than flow. Because if you have a break, the pressure will drop immediately and you can be notified immediately. There was a sudden drop in pressure, right? If there was a 20 PSI drop in pressure, you'd want to know right away something's up, especially if it doesn't recover.
Well, and too, the beauty of being able to monitor pressure like you would flow, if you establish on a control system on zone one, the flow is at 50 gallons a minute and the pressure is at 47 PSI, you can really dial in the monitoring. But on that same zone, if a head broke and now it's at 60 gallons a minute at 30 PSI, I mean, that's a quick indication at that point that you know there's a leak somewhere. You can identify it in both correlations. But if you don't have flow, but you do have pressure, and you can correlate, oh, my pressure was 45 PSI on that zone, but now it's 30, I can pretty much determine that there's a break.
So what do you think, now that we've wrapped up the installation part of that project and most of it, what do you think are like a couple of your aha takeaways that are in your mind?
Well, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and we just really haven't had the tools in the past to be able to effectively monitor pressure, where in the past I'd have to put a data logger out, and that data logger's monitoring pressure, then you got to get the data, and you got to bring it back, and you got to sort it and clean it and look at it, and then I got to overlay it on flow. The aha moment for me now is being able to actually overlay digital flow with digital pressure and determine really, really well the effectiveness of the water flowing through a pipe and that zone. Specifically, again, like we talked about, it's the vital signs, right? So the correlation to the flow and the pressure, which again, just like in a doctor, what's your blood pressure? Mm-hmm. What's your water pressure?
Mm-hmm.
What's your pulse rate?
It can explain so much. There's a reason they take it first.
So now we're going to tie that back into an irrigation system, and you know, let's check the vital signs. And the vital signs should be pressure number one, flow number two, when we're looking at.
Yeah, and there's a difference between a flow sensor or monitor being used to count and totalize the volume over time. That's a different data point than the gallons per minute.
That's right. And that is another thing that we learn. Of course, you know, luckily for us, we're learning every day. And I've been doing this 35 years, and you can learn something almost every day, especially if you're open to learning. But you're right. It's critical sometimes to know what's your gallons per minute, just so you have a baseline to understand what that zone is operating at.
So we were making the correlation that the gallons per minute, the GPM, is much like the heart rate. Right? Your heart rate, the beats per minute, is like gallons per minute, because it's actually, I don't know if speed is the right word, but let's just call it a rate, versus the total consumption is a volume of water
over time.
And so is the GPM, but the GPM is actually a rate, just like your heart has a rate. You could be at
a resting rate,
55 beats per minute when you're sleeping. And if you're heavily working out at your peak, you could be at 180 beats
per minute.
The volume of blood that flows through is a different number than the rate, than the heart rate. And so we have, you know, blood pressure and heart rate. And we have PSI on the system, and we have gallons per minute. And so I think that's kind of where our mind went, is that the gallons per minute is a lot like the beats per minute in the body.
That's right. And it really helps us see a little clearer the true vital signs of an irrigation system when you're looking at it. And what should you look at first and second and third when you're diagnosing the operation of an irrigation system?
I'm excited to put this together and continue to watch, look at the data remotely, and try to understand what it's telling us and what should the alarms be, right, over time. And, you know, the interesting thing about looking at pressure logged over time is that we'll be able to see, does it actually stay relatively flat, or are there natural patterns in the pressure in a particular building based on the behavior of that building? You know, is there going to be a natural daily spike in pressure or decrease in pressure? Or is there going to be weekly patterns?
Well, especially, too, if you have a facility that is served by the municipality only and you don't have a booster pump inside of the building. You know, for us in that particular facility, we've learned that there was a booster pump there. But clearly it wasn't functioning properly, so they were just getting city water coming in. I think if once they fix the pump and they get the pump in, we're going to see a steady pressure, right? Hopefully, because the booster pump with the VFD should sustain a pressure in the facility. Where if you got domestic water coming into a home or a commercial building, you're going to see fluctuations because the municipality will increase their pumps to provide additional pressure, especially in an area where it's heavily irrigated, where they got all the irrigation systems are starting to fire up and they lose pressure in their network. They got to get the pumps back up so they can sustain the pressure within the network. And I think you've seen it in your lab, and I've seen it in my lab. I mean, the pressure varies, and then you can start seeing patterns when the municipality starts to turn on pumps, because the pressure could be at a 55, and then you're like, oh, it went up to 70 at 9 o'clock at night. And that's when they kick the pumps on or their extra pump to create extra pressure.
Yeah. So if you only have one pressure gauge, pressure sensor on the system, you actually, it could be, if let's just say, for instance, the pressure drops. What we don't know is why completely. If we have flow data, that'll help answer. But if we only have pressure, we don't know whether it was simply the city pressure dropping, or whether it was the an irrigation pipe that broke and the pressure is dropping. But if we were to take the at the very end of the main line. I'm just kind of spitballing here. Wherever the main line ends, the furthest point away from the source, that you put the other pressure sensor there. So we're always looking at two data points, because those two data points should always be in relationship to each other, because it's the same piece of pipe. So if it's down from the city, it'll be down at the source and down at the end. But if there's a difference between the start and the end, the delta between those two, then that would help diagnose, oh, the problem is on the irrigation system. We got a problem here, and it's not maintaining pressure.
And then
over
time,
two points.
The beauty of these now, these wireless pressure sensors that you can put in, you can just drop them into a valve box. You can put one on the test port of a backflow, and then you can put one on a quick coupler if you had one in the system. And then you can look at your pressure at your beginning of your main, and you can look at the pressure at the end of your main. And what is the difference between the two, especially if you're a designer or consultant?
Yeah. Yeah. I think as we develop this, we need to have, just thinking through this, we need to have two pressure sensors.
Definitely.
In the same display in the software where you have two, the beginning and the end. And then you can have the learned delta between the two. Then you can set alarms up based on their pressure delta between the start and the end.
And then you can, too, also tell if you're taking over a system, how the system was designed initially, and if there's a greater delta between the POC of
over time, you know that, or you know that, that roots are getting into this, or something's happening.
They could have added, you know, a couple zones to the system. They could have added a few more heads to a zone that now drops the pressure when the system runs. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can now diagnose where you didn't have the ability to do in the past.
Right. And it's still not readily available today, but hopefully we'll be able to bring something to market here that is will be a very useful tool, very simple tool, useful tool, affordable tool that future businesses cannot live without, cannot do business without.
I agree. And we can see it's burgeoning, you know, even in our work that we're doing.
Very good, man. I wish we, you know, we're talking a little bit on the down low because we're sitting here in a public club, so we're not getting as enthusiastic as we normally are. So
very
hopefully
true.
Those that are listening understand that we're not usually this mellow and stoic when we're talking about fun shit like this. So appreciate everybody's patience, and hopefully some of the information that we share with you is helpful, and we can create a sense of wonder and curiosity that you can carry into your own business. And I guess, you know, my biggest takeaway is to always check the pressure on a system in as many places as possible while the system is running, so you can get a really good understanding of what's happening and document it.
And there are tools out there that are pretty cost effective now, whether they're just, you know, wireless Bluetooth where you can put and log it and then go with your phone and pull the data off, or some of the devices we're testing now that you have wireless pressure sensors that feed into a platform where you can track and trend it over time. So that's really what I'm excited about is these new tools that we have to diagnose the vital signs of the irrigation
system.
Yeah.
And when Paul and I are in a position where we can share more about this project, we certainly will. This happens to be a project that we were consulted with and hired for, but it's always a lab experiment.
The whole life that we live is a lab experiment.
It's a lab experiment. Absolutely. All right, brother. Great week. Thanks for the brain share here in the Sky Club. And can't wait for our next adventure.
Ditto. Can't wait. Enjoy working with you.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening to another exciting episode of the Sprint Thunder Show. We'll see you next week. Ciao, ciao.
Good job, brother. Always.